Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? Anything on your mind? 51551 ray@rte.ie. I was over in the RTE canteen, and who did I meet but Emer Noon. Emer is a conductor, and she made history when she was the first female conductor at the Oscars back in 2020. I remember we spoke to her a lot at the time about her fears and aspirations and all that sort of thing. And I met her anyway. And we were chatting away, and she's telling me she's working on something with Wallace Bird, which she's very excited about. She also told me that she's working with Team Oscars. I think that's what she said anyway. It sounds right. So she's not conducting the Oscars this year, but she is involved. And she told me, and this is a bit of backstage gossip just between you, me, and Emer, that she's involved, right? So if any of ours win, that she won't introduce the walk-off music to let them speak for longer. Isn't that nice? That's very nice for her, even if it's not true. Very nice for her. And it's great to see her. She's in great form, very excited about what she's working on at the moment. Did you notice them this morning? Yeah, all the costumes going into school. The reason is it's World Book Day, if you didn't know. We warned parents about it yesterday, and there would have been panic in households all over the country trying to get makeshift costumes together. There would have been Harry Potters and Matildas, and we sent a minion off dressed as a private eye this morning. But we spotted this one. This is great. And it's a real life character. So this guy dressed up as his favourite nature writer, Dara McInulty. We've had Dara on the show loads of times. Author of Diary of a Young Naturalist, which won an Irish Book Award, A Wild Child's Book of Birds, and others. Anyway, Sarah Jane says, Jay, the son, knew exactly who he wanted to dress up as for this year's World Book Day, his favourite nature writer, Dara McInulty. He's planned his outfit down to the last detail and is so excited for today. He looked at the author's photo and said, wow, I really look like him. So there he is with the glasses. He has a Ramones t-shirt on. He's holding up one of Dara's books. And of course, Dara spotted the picture and he responded, replied. He said, oh my goodness, this has made my year. Happy World Book Day, Jay. And thank you so much. Isn't that lovely? Yeah. Yeah, today is World Book Day. And yesterday, the 1st of March, started Seacht na Gaeilge, which is actually not 1 week, but 2 weeks. Actually, it's more because it goes up to St. Patrick's Day. So it's 17 days. So Seacht na Gaeilge is 17 days, which is 10 days more than the Seachtain. OK, which is no surprise because Irish can be a confusing language. Seamus Lehan is a Limerick based primary school teacher. And he knows, because he teaches it, he knows how confusing the language can be. And he's taken to TikTok. And I love him. I love him because he's injected a good bit of humour into the learning of Irish as a language. So, for example, when it comes to what do you call a hand and what do you call an arm and what do you call a foot and what do you call a leg, he sort of developed these characters. They're sort of like the blind boy for the Irish language. Have a listen to Seamus in action.
Hi, man. What's the Irish for hand?
Love.
All right. So what's the Irish for arm then?
Love.
What? Yeah. But they're two separate body parts. They can't both be love. They are, man. I learned it on language drop. How? Does a wrist not exist in Irish or something? Next you'll be telling me leg and foot are the same in Irish.
I mean, I learned on language drops that they're both cuts.
Oh my God.
Seamus Lehan, we must talk to that man. During Seacht na Gaeilge. We've loads of time because, we've established already, it's 17 days long. It's the longest week in the world, Seacht na Gaeilge. It's great to have it. Bray, this is good news for Bray. It's been listed as one of the world's most underrated travel destinations in a new ranking from Time Out. The list of destinations which the global travel experts felt was deserving of more attention was released today. They say they've put together the list with the aim of inspiring and enabling people to discover places which pack a punch in terms of food, culture and experiences but are often overlooked by travellers. Bray! Yes. We used to go on day trips to Bray as children. We didn't go on holidays, that's how poor we were. But the odd time we'd get the local minibus operator to put all of us into it and we'd head to Bray from Kildare. And I remember one year I was in hospital. So I couldn't go on the day out to Bray. But they all called in to Vincent's Hospital on the way back from their day out in Bray. My abiding memory is the ghost train in Bray back in the day. But there it is, getting world attention in Time Out. It needs more attention. It's a Time Out about Bray. More drama from the royal family. It peaked there in January with the release of Spare, Harry's memoir. Back in the news today because the BBC are reporting that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have been asked to vacate the British base of Frogmore Cottage. It was earlier reported that the home on the grounds of Windsor Castle has been offered to the Duke of York. That'd be Andrew. Ooh, that's a slap in the face. A spokesperson for Prince Harry and Meghan confirmed the news. They had spent £2.4 million on it, doing it up back in 2018-29. The cost was initially covered by taxpayers through the sovereign grant before being repaid in full by the Duke. Anyway, seemingly they got word that they had to vacate Frogmore Cottage days after the publication of the memoir. Oh my word, it's unsightly really, isn't it? Unsightly. Scallions and daffodils alongside each other, seemingly it's dangerous. James Wong, we've spoken to James Wong before, he's a botanist and food presenter, and he took a picture of the vegetable stroke flower display in his local Marks and Spencer's, where the daffodils and the spring onions are alongside each other. And he said it was quite dangerous because this is a warning. This is serious warning here, public service broadcasting, that daffodils are poisonous. So do not eat daffodils. And he was fearful that somebody would pick up the daffodils, mistake them for the spring onions and eat them. So he did a good thing. He did a good thing. Don't eat the daffodils. That's the message today. Don't eat the daffodils. Yeah, text straight in. You're quick today. They've been frog marched out. Hey, ribbit. Have you read Spare? Yes, read it. Just cranberries. This is hard to believe. And if you're my age, you'll think, oh, is it? It couldn't be. Not possible. But it's 30 years since the release of Everybody Else Is Doing It. So why can't we? 1993, the 1st of March. And then, of course, that album conquered the world. And as a result, the Cranberries became global stars. And Dolores, their lead in particular. To celebrate that, we'll play a bit of that music. 51551, ray@rte.ie. We were supposed to speak to Maddie, the Kerry bride, yesterday about saving money on her wedding day. She saved over €26,000. We didn't get to it because we were speaking to Dervla Meskell, Paul's mother, and it went on and we were, you know. Anyway, so Maddie's on today. So again, if you have any tips for our listeners as to how you saved money on your wedding day, because with inflation and everything else, people will be needing tips to save money on their wedding day. Get them into us, ray@rte.ie, or you can text them. 251551. Do you want to hear that or do you want to hear Linger? Yeah, this one, I was going to play Linger, but anyway. Yeah, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. One of the best Irish songs ever recorded. Cranberries, 30 years old, and Dreams. Best wedding tip ever, elope. That'll save you a lot of cash. And Ray, I ate a daffodil bulb thinking it was garlic. I'm in hospital, but I'll be out in spring. There is a serious side. Teresa's been on from Monaghan. She says, I once made a spag ball. That'd be spaghetti bolognese, using a daffodil bulb instead of a homegrown garlic one. My mother thought I was a goner, but here I am. There's no ba-dum-tish. That's just a true story. So she survived it. Now, do you want a break? Yes, we'd all need a break. And we've a chance for you to win one today in our whodunit quiz. Yes, we do. We're looking for two people to come on and answer three whodunit questions each on music, sport, books, films, politics, comedy, TV. It's a bit of crack as well. And there is a prize. And sometimes I forget how brilliant this prize is. Because it's a two-night break for two people with dinner on one evening. Like, that's a good prize. That's a very good prize. And it's in one of the I Knew A Collection four-star hotels. And the brilliant thing about this is that you have a choice all over the country. So they have the lovely Kilkenny Chic Hibernian Hotel, the Tullamore Court Hotel, the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan. There's the Fairways Hotel in Dundalk and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. You see, so geographically, you have loads of choice there. And there's something for everyone to enjoy in the Ainua collection of hotels, overnight getaways, spa treatments, elegant afternoon teas and delicious meals in one of the many restaurants across the Ainua collection. So you can book your spring and summer getaways now. Ainua.ie, I-N-U-A.ie. It could be just what the doctor ordered. A two-night getaway for two people. Okay, here's your qualifying question on this Thursday afternoon. Joni Mitchell was honoured at a star-studded concert last night in the US. Okay, the great singer, songwriter Joni Mitchell honoured at a star-studded concert last night in the US. Did Joni write Big Yellow Taxi or Big Yellow Uber? So, did she write Big Yellow Taxi or Big Yellow Uber? 0818-715-925. 0818-715-925. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock and you could win for yourself that great Breakaway!
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 5 5 on ray@rte.ie. Now, the wedding industry is booming at the moment, with experts revealing that the average cost of an Irish wedding is now reaching close to €32,000. You heard me right, €32,000. But one Kerry woman didn't let this stop her from celebrating her big day by using some simple cost-cutting steps. She managed to slash her wedding costs by over €26,000. She joins me now to share some of them with you. Maddie Murphy, how are you?
Hi, Ray. It's great to be on.
Good to talk to you.
And you.
So you're home now in Kerry.
I am home in Kerry, yeah. We just moved home from London there, so right. Home now.
And where are you heading to?
We're actually heading to Dubai in a couple of days.
Okay. When did you get married?
We got married in December 21.
Okay. And why are you only letting people know about how much you save now?
I was kind of gatekeeping, I suppose. But look.
Gatekeeping. All right.
Yeah, gatekeeping, yeah. But I said, look, I kind of all tatted it up and I decided, Jesus, I actually did save a load.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of coming out with it now.
Yeah, and you work in marketing, so you're used to sort of project management, are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm a fond of an Excel sheet, I'm not going to lie.
Right, and that was a huge part of your planning, was it, this Excel sheet?
It was actually, yeah. I had, honestly, nearly every supplier in the country on this Excel sheet and exactly what they had. And I think that was one of the main reasons that I saved so much. Like, I got so many quotes, you know.
And was it a good day?
Always the best day. Best day of our lives.
Who'd you marry?
I married Dean Murphy.
Right.
Yeah, he's from Waterville. He's from about 20 minutes where I live and we went to secondary school together.
And were you dating in secondary school?
No, we weren't. He must have always fancied me, Ray, but you know.
Has he admitted that, or is that the way you saw it?
No, I feel that.
Yes, yeah. And what, he was too shy or what happened?
Oh, he must have been too shy. Or maybe I was intimidating. I don't know, but yeah.
Okay. Right. So COVID had its part to play in a good chunk of the savings.
Yeah, it did.
So when you set out to do the old guest list, which is politically fraught, isn't it?
Oh, my God. But like, we have such a habit in Ireland of having these massive weddings, which, you know, have your mother's auntie's goldfish in them, you know? Right. So, like, we had, when we totted it up, after many an argument, we had about 350 people.
Wow.
And it's just mad.
It is mad.
You know?
Because what's the population of Valencia? You're from Valencia. It must have been the whole island.
Yes, yeah, it was the whole island.
All the Waterville then on top of it, yeah.
Exactly, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dean has a massive family and I have, thankfully, have a small, or it would have been about 600 if I had a big family as well.
Okay, so you were looking at 300 people and you got that, it was €87 per head. So what's the maths on that?
Ugh, something crazy. It was over like €30,000, realistically.
Yes.
But we decided then we actually couldn't afford it. Like, you're trying to save for a house, you know, a mortgage. It's just not realistic anymore to have these massive weddings.
Well, you see, back in the day, you know, the bride's family would have stepped in and paid for it.
Yeah.
That was the tradition. But that rarely happens now, I'd say.
Not anymore. We knew we were paying for a lot of it. You know, families did help out, but we were paying for a lot of it ourselves and we just didn't have it. We're young, you know.
Like, a house really should take precedence over.
Shouldn't
it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should. Okay. Yeah. So with COVID, you weren't allowed to have 300. So you had a good excuse to say to the
exactly.
your auntie's aunt Skullfish. You can say it doesn't matter. They have only 3 second memory anyway. They're not holding
exactly.
a grudge against you. Yeah. So they were gone, right? They were gone. That was because you had to cut it down to 100. So that's a
we
good
did.
Saving, isn't it? Yeah.
Honestly, it was great. To be honest, it actually saved us so much money just for because the guest list itself will, you know, cost
yeah.
you the most
yeah.
out of everything.
Mm. And 100, that's still a good chunk of people. It's enough
it is.
For an atmosphere,
yeah.
isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It is. Oh, yeah. It was lovely. And it was more intimate. And it was, you could actually get around to everyone on the day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a big thing, of course, for the bride is the dress. But you didn't want
yes.
one, you wanted two.
I'm a bit extra like that, Ray. I wanted two dresses, yeah.
Go on, talk me through it. So up the aisle and what? Later on, is that the way it is?
Yeah, basically. Okay. You've one kind of for the church and the ceremony, and then you've another one you kind of change into for your nighttime wear and your dancing.
So yeah. What was your approach then to the two dresses?
So I knew I wanted two dresses always, but I didn't want to spend that much on it. I wasn't compromising on two dresses, so I said, okay, I will spend less money on two. So, and that's what I did. So I bought both of mine off the rail, which is far cheaper basically than getting it made to measure, which is the usual, what they do basically.
But you are a little bit sort of handy when it comes to alterations. So you did them yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Not everybody would have the confidence to do that.
No, completely. But you know what? Even if you don't get them made to measure, you can take it and then take it to someone who does
alterations. Yes, who does that,
and
yes,
it's still
yeah.
cheaper.
Yeah. I'm just looking here. The day dress, which is the main wedding gown,
yes.
you costed it at $3,400. You bought one off the peg or off the rails for $910. That's a saving
yeah.
of $2,490. That's substantial.
Yeah.
Then your made to measure evening dress, you cost it at $2,800. You bought one for $1,700 and the savings was $1,100. So that's
yeah.
savings across the two dresses of over €3,500.
Exactly.
Good one. Now, that's now, see, there are things that you can't skimp on, I would think. Like, you want a video. Now, we've never,
yes.
it's 10 years on, we've never looked at ours, but we wanted it. That's important. It's there
yeah.
at some stage in the future. We may go back to it, but it, yeah. But you were insisting that you had a video and a videographer, as they call them now, as opposed to a camera person. So
oh, yeah.
how did you get on with that?
So I was determined. I was, and it was caused many an argument now with my now husband over this videographer. But I said, okay, because I was getting quotes of, you know, crazy money, which is 3,000-4,000 euros, which is just mad.
Mm.
So I said, I still wanted one, but I got one for kind of with the no frills, basically. There was no drone. There was no, none of this.
Oh, they do drones now. Of course they do drones.
They do.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
we'd no drone
yeah.
at ours. We'd no drone because it was 10 years ago. Drones probably existed. So no frills. So no drone. What were the other frills that you didn't get? I'm intrigued by this.
There's various different things. They can go to both houses, you
oh,
know,
right,
the groom's house and
right,
the bride's.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Different. You can have more cameras and more people working. There's
right.
loads of different things you can add on or
yeah.
take away. You can have them for a shorter amount of
uh-huh.
time. These kind of things.
You can have Tom yeah. Hanks do the voiceover. You could have.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
or you maybe, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm not cheap. Okay, so you saved 3,600 on that. No frills. Great.
Yeah.
I was just reading a piece in the RT website about weddings, and they're saying that this year, last year, they reckon there was 35,000 weddings. That's up like 50%. They're saying the same this year. And of course, you know, demand, supply, we know economics. And one of the things that the price is going through the roof, bans, wedding bans.
Yes.
How did you get on there?
So we priced a lot of them as well. I did, and we went for one that was a little bit cheaper. They were more up and coming. They were still incredible, and they also included a DJ in their package.
Right.
So we would have saved a lot there. Yeah.
So she was part of the band as well.
Yes, basically.
Aha.
And then he stayed on and did the DJ part
right.
of it, and it
was
included
good?
In the price. He was brilliant.
Right.
Brilliant.
Okay,
yeah.
and he knew the crowd because he'd been in the band.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right, that's nice. And of course, he used the same PA system, so there was no messing around getting the two sets of gear in.
Yeah, no stress like that. Exactly.
All good. You saved 550 euro on that. We won't go through everything. But here, I love this one because you had a number of children at the wedding.
I did.
The hotel were offering a 3-course meal for children. Waste.
Waste.
Yes.
Absolutely. All our kids were under 10. So
right.
There was no point. I kind of only realised it myself until I said, I wonder, are they actually giving a 3-course, which they were when I inquired. And I said, you know, there's no point. They'd barely eat the 1 course for you. So let's just do one. And it cut a couple of hundred off it anyway.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Give them chicken nuggets and chips. And I know
exactly.
People are going, oh, that's not very healthy, but that's what they want. That's what they
that's
want.
What they
and
want.
It's a day
kept
out.
Kept them quiet, yeah.
Yeah, it's a special day. They remember you for that. There's loads of little things that have crept into weddings over the years. Wedding favours.
Yes.
So this is a little thing you put on the table and everyone's supposed to bring them home as a souvenir of your day. Is that
yes,
it?
Exactly.
Right,
yes.
Okay. And where do people put all these wedding favours?
I'll tell you where they put it. They leave it behind
the bin eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you reckoned, you did a sort of a cost analysis on it and you reckoned what?
Yeah. But you could spend, it depends now, it depends on the favour you have, but you could spend thousands on favours or you could spend nothing. We didn't do them. What we did instead was we donated to 2 charities.
Brilliant.
Instead,
yeah.
And put a little card that I made myself on the table saying, instead of favours, this is what we've done. And that's more common nowadays as well.
Right.
It was brilliant.
I suppose one of the things that has happened over the years is that people are taking more and more control of their weddings and there's...
Yes.
Less and less rigour around tradition, I think. That's the feeling that I'm getting. I haven't been at a wedding in a long time, since my own, probably. Okay, so invitations. There's another cost, printing and all that, getting it designed, postage, all of that.
Yeah. So with the invitations, now you can easily do an e-invite, as they call them now. Mm. You can have a wedding website or an email or, you know, a text even, to be honest with you.
Text sounds like this, you know. How are you? I'm getting married. Do you want to come along?
Be there at this time,
Has that people actually invited people to weddings via text? Have they?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Right. Yeah, honestly. Right. Yeah.
Okay, what did you go with?
I went with it. I did want the traditional ones, but I still, as I said, wanted to save money. So used a smaller business to do the printing for me. And then I bought everything else separately. So I went on different websites and got, you know, my wax seals on Amazon. And then, you know, these kind of things, gathered them separately and sat for hours doing my own invitations.
There's somebody suggesting there that you set up a wedding WhatsApp group.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad idea. So you did it, but you shopped around. And I think that's what's coming through in everything here. You shopped around. Some people wouldn't have the wherewithal or the patience or the time to do this, but you had, and it's part of, I suppose, what you do at work, so you know how to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes a massive difference.
Okay, other savings. Days of the week, does that matter when it comes to cost?
Hugely. Midweek weddings, you can save nearly 30, I would say 30 euro, 40 euro per person.
Right. That's a big chunk. Yeah.
Huge.
And what about time of the year?
Winter is always pretty good. January, February, March are always really good when it comes to, you know, especially if you have a midweek then.
So
you're basically free.
A Wednesday in March, they pay you to have a wedding.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Did I read it about you or somebody else? Because I did a lot of reading on weddings yesterday that you asked the hotel if they'd any, you know, ornaments up in the attic or whatever.
I did. I'm very brazen like that. And
right.
I wanted to get as much out of them as I could. So I just quizzed them. What decorations do you have? And I reused all of it, basically. They had bowls and I bought candles and I had floating candles in the bowls that they had. And
right.
Honestly, anything, that it was dusted off for my wedding.
And himself, he drove the car, Dean?
He did.
Right. Just any
that
old
car.
That
was amazing. No, we got our car from a crowd in Glenbay near us, actually. They're pristine classics. They have classic cars, but they're self-drive. So we saved a bit of money on that. And it was lovely because Dean drove it and we had about an hour of time to ourselves in the car, heading up, just relaxing and
right.
chatting.
Did he have to do a test drive in it?
He did.
Yeah.
They're really good. So the morning of, he did a test drive.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Flowers, big expense.
Massive, yeah.
And then when they hear wedding, I don't know. You know, maybe, maybe not, I don't know.
They do usually, they do. But to be honest, what I did with the flowers is I did, you know, want a lot of them. However, if you choose flowers that are in season, which is what I did, they're not as expensive because, you know, they're not being imported or they're not as difficult to get. And then I asked my flowers to add more greenery so that it would bring the cost down even more. It still looked as incredible as ever, but it was just cheaper.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Because greenery, yeah, bulks it out.
Yeah.
The more guests, the less the wedding costs. The more guests, the less the wedding costs. The more guests, the less the wedding costs. I don't know what that makes sense. Ray, a wedding for €25, regardless of the number of guests, go to your favourite fast food joint and use the drive-thru. Everyone pays for their own meal, food sorted, park the cars in the circle, roll down the windows and tune into the same radio station, music and dance floor sorted. Before the day, you inform the local free newspaper, free photos, or team might even cover it in the news, free video. The initial €25 is your own meal in the drive-thru. My wife didn't agree with me, unfortunately, David in Galway. So that was in his head. Never actually happened. But there you go. It sounds like something out of a movie. My wife and I paid about $1,700 for our wedding, $600 for airfare from Boston to Las Vegas, $400 for two nights hotel, $500 for a deluxe wedding chapel package, which included limo transport from our hotel to City Hall to get the license, then to the chapel, the minister ceremony and transport back to hotel where we had a €200 special dinner at the hotel. We are still together 26 years later. Hey. And Ray, on the 1st of March 1973, that's another thing. That's not a wedding. Asking people to midweek wedding is not fair on guests. People may need to take 2 days off their precious annual leave. Well, then your number's down again. Save more money. yeah. Are you going to become a wedding planner, Maddie?
Well, look, if you're getting married again, Ray, I'll happily do it for you.
That ain't going to happen. You know. But thanks for the offer. Yeah. Is it something you'd like to do after doing that yourself?
I'd love to do it. I really would. I am absolutely wedding obsessed, and it's nice to actually talk to someone that isn't my husband about our wedding. So, honestly, yeah, I would.
It's nice to talk to somebody who is my wife. No, I'm joking. Look, just we got a wrong text in there. I better just settle this because we've just got a text into the show. It says, "Okay, I'll be out around 4:45." So if that applies to you, there it is. It's out there. Somebody just sent that in. Sent it the wrong number. So you're off to Dubai. Dean's a pilot, so he's going to be flying out of Dubai, is he? How long are you going to be there?
We'll be there for 5 to 10 years anyway, at least, Ray. Yeah.
Right.
Like most of Ireland is there at the moment, to be fair.
And you'll be saving.
Oh, we will.
And are you going to settle down halfway between Waterville and Valencia? Where would that be? Where's equidistance from the both?
Maybe Carrigskeen and Port McGee.
Right, yeah. Port McGee. You could do worse, couldn't you?
That's a
lovely spot. Maddie, lovely talking to you. And I'm sure there's loads of help there for people who are planning summer weddings and winter weddings this year. And good luck in Dubai.
Thanks very much, Ray. It was great to talk to you.
Bye now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Mark McLean from Roscommon joins me in studio, and Mark got his picture taken with the Taoiseach last week, and the reason he got his photograph taken is that he works in Ireland's first accessibility centre for water sports on Loch Ree. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm grand. How are you keeping, Ray?
I'm good, yeah. So how was it with Leo?
It was grand, yeah. It was grand, to be honest, you know. It was good that he made the time to come and, you know, officiate opening the centre, you know.
And it's not just a first for Ireland, it's a first for Ireland and Great Britain.
Exactly.
In that you have a boat that wheelchair users can roll onto.
We can keep our dignity, like.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
Which is one of the main parts of everything, do you know.
Because you're a wheelchair user.
Yes, I am, yes.
So let's talk about your story first and then we'll get back to the centre.
No problem.
So what year did the accident happen?
Well, on the 11th of April 2014... I was on my way into the shop. It was on my own road, you know. I was used to it. I'd been driving it for years. But whatever happened, I took a bad swerve and I hit a tree. And I got ejected out the sunroof and I hit the tree myself and landed into the ditch.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Slow down now.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was late at night.
Yeah.
No other car involved.
No.
And you knew the road, but it's just one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those, a split second, you know.
Yeah.
And
then a weird coincidence, the first person to come upon the accident.
It was my mother, yeah. My mother, yeah. She was on her way home from bingo. So she loves bingo, so thank God for that anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And what's her version of coming upon the accident?
Well, I mean, I guess when she first came upon the accident, she didn't know it was me straight away because it was dark. But when she did realise it was me, I mean, you can just imagine she was hysterical, like, you know. But if she didn't come on the scene when she did and call the ambulance, I mean, I don't know, I could be gone, you know. So.
And have you chatted to her about that night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we have. And, you know, I really feel for her, you know.
Yeah.
She's my angel, you know.
So she comes along and she sees a car in the ditch.
Yeah.
So she goes down to investigate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And you were saying there that you were thrown out of the sunroof.
Yeah.
So where are you in relation to the car?
Well, I was thrown out the sunroof and I hit the tree myself.
Yes.
You know, and then I landed into the ditch.
Right.
And the car kind of flipped across the road and whatnot. And yeah, and so I was in the ditch and, you know, ma'am, I guess she said that she couldn't find a body, but then she came across me and, you know, look, I can imagine how she felt, you know, and, you know, obviously, I mean, anyone can imagine, you know.
Mm. So you were in a coma?
I was in a coma for a month.
For how long? A month?
For a month, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Anything weird happening while you're in the coma? Because, you know, you hear
people. Yeah, I know, yeah. You know, actually, it was weird. I remember, actually, one thing in the coma, and I really didn't think we were going to bring this up. But okay. Anyway, I might as well, you know. But, you know, I was painting a horse.
You were painting a picture of a horse or you're painting a horse?
A horse, right. Yeah. Okay. So, you know. And then,
what
I mean,
colour were you painting the horse?
I actually don't know.
No, but there was a horse there and you would have painted
it. It was the weirdest thing ever, you know, because you wouldn't even think of that normally. But I heard a voice behind me calling my name and I turned around and, you know, it was a woman and she said, "Wake up, Mark, it's time to wake up." And I woke up in the matter.
Because I've spoken to a neurosurgeon before.
Yeah.
And he's written a book about his experience in a coma.
Okay. Yeah.
And he talks about, you know, seeing people that he loved who had died and seeing a light and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But all you saw was a half-painted horse.
Well, I was starting to paint it.
Oh, you're starting to paint it.
I was starting to paint it. Yeah, and yeah.
That's mad, isn't it?
It's mad, yeah. I never got to finish painting the horse. But no, it was great. You know, that's just, you know.
So a month. And then, so you wake up because somebody has told you to wake up. It was probably what happens, I think, is that you incorporate noises in the real world into your coma state and then eventually they,
I woke up actually and I thought I was going to work. You know, and I had no voice. And then, I mean, the realization of, I mean, why can't I move my legs?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening right now? It was crazy.
So you're 24.
I was 24. Yeah.
What did you work at before the accident?
I'm a qualified cabinet maker. Right. You know, I worked with GEM Manufacturing in Longford. You know, and I loved being a carpenter. You know, it's what I always wanted to do. And, you know, I did it. And so, you know, that was what I was doing before.
So that you wake up then and there's no sense of time, is there? There's no sense that this is a month on or anything like that. None of that.
No. It was like I went to sleep, woke up. Right. You know, and
what was it? What did you remember? Did you remember being in the car?
I don't remember anything from when I swerved.
Right.
You know.
Oh, so you do remember getting into the car that night and going down the road. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was going to get credit, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Of course, I remember getting into the car.
Yeah.
You know? I understand what you're saying.
So then the realization you can't talk initially.
Yeah.
What about, you know, the feeling in your feet and your legs?
Well, I can't feel.
Yes.
You know. So
how do you get your head around that in those opening few minutes?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to explain. You know, but it's just the realization that you can't move. You know, you think initially I thought that I'll get better.
Mm.
You know, I'll be grand. I'll get out of hospital. I'll be get better. But like, then when the realization, when the doctor does that test on you that with a feather and with something else, I don't know what it was, it's for the touch, you know. And the realisation then when she said, can you feel that? And I was like, no. And then no. And then it came up to where I could feel. I'm T4.
T4 is T4. What?
That's thoracic. It's just below the nipple line.
Okay, you know? Right.
And I guess then the realisation when she said, you know, Mark, you're paralysed, you know, you're complete. So, I mean, when you're complete, there's no chance because your spine is severed.
That's it.
You know,
and that's there's no hope.
No.
I'm wondering, because you know, sometimes, you know, say if you're lifting a really heavy weight, for example, and you just, you're there and you're holding on, you just can't, there's no movement, but you're doing your best. Your brain is doing your best to lift and to move.
Yeah.
So
well, I can do that.
But in your brain, were you doing your best to move your foot?
I actually was, And it was just, oh my God, like it was crazy.
So you can feel this tension in your brain trying to concentrate.
When you're actually trying to concentrate and do it, you're just, you know, your legs just start, your nerves kind of start going. And you see, what happens with me is when my nerves go mad and my legs feel like they're on fire.
But nothing's happening.
But right. My legs feel like they're just burning, you know.
Okay. So then you're there, there's you're out of the coma, realisation that you're paralysed. You eventually get your speech back, obviously, because you're here talking to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how do you cope with that then? Well, in the long term?
Yeah, well, look, I'm going to be quite honest with you. When I was in the matter, you know, and I realised that, you know, this is going to be my life, there was a guy there and he was only 18 and he was paralysed from the neck down, which is tetraplegic. And I mean, I was talking to him and from that moment on, I never felt sorry for myself.
Did you not?
Never, no. Because when I went to the National Rehabilitation Hospital, I mean, people are worse, you know, people that have C6 or C5 injury, that means your tricep doesn't work, you know, you don't have fully functioning with your hands. And then acquired brain injury is absolutely terrible. So no, I never felt sorry for myself. I'm very lucky to have my upper body, and I'm still independent. Mm. You know, I drive using hand controls and an automatic. You know, I can hop around from the bed to the chair, and you know, I recently moved into my own house there. Yeah,
so you're independent.
You know, I'm fully independent. You know, and I like it.
So what about when you get out and about for the first time in a wheelchair?
Okay, yeah. Well, the first time I tell you, when I was in the matter, the first time I went into the wheelchair, I completely went. I fainted. You know, because you know where you're lying down for so long.
Oh, yes.
And then you just get up. Yeah. I was like, get back to bed quick, get me back. And I was like, I was gone, you know. Mm. And then obviously I woke back up and I was like, not doing that for another while. No. Right. You know, but.
Yeah, but going back, because you live in a rural area.
Yeah.
People
would
have known you.
Yeah.
So you were Mark, who was the cabinet maker, 24, active. Mm. And now you're coming back as a wheelchair user.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, look, to be honest with you, I mean, okay, obviously the first couple of years were hard, you know, getting, you know, your body gets used to, it adjusts to all you can do, you know, especially when the spinal shock goes away, right? So obviously like there is, you know, I suffer from spasms, bad spasticity, which to me is the worst part of being paralysed, you know? But like, I mean, obviously the perks as well, there is perks.
Right,
you know?
Go on.
You know, I'm sure you know yourself, you know, free parking. you know, free toll. But you know, but you know, there is perks like this, you know.
Would you say
Free tax as well, actually. Yeah, free, about that. Free tax.
On
the car.
Yeah, and you get a grant.
A 3 litre grant that you'd be
free. Yeah, you get a grant for the car as well.
You know, it's just free tax.
Yeah.
You know, grant.
Yeah. Would you say that you accept your lot now?
Oh, completely. 100%.
And was that from that time you met your man, or the 18-year-old who was worse off than you were?
Like, I mean, like when I was in the NHS and I seen the people with acquired brain injury and I seen what they had to do and what they were going through, I was like, right, no, that's it.
Don't feel sorry for yourself, Mark.
No, not a chance. No.
Okay.
I have my upper body strength. I can do. Yeah.
So you went back and you tried to go back to work.
Work out. Yeah, well, what happened was, obviously, for the first couple of years, you know, I was at home and obviously, you know, I was going through, you know, I was depressed, you know.
Oh, right. Oh, you were depressed, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, like at the first couple of years, I mean, like, I had no confidence. You know, and I thought to myself, look, you know, I looked at, I seen my reflection in the mirror, and, you know, when your legs are, you know, skinny because you, you know, you lose your...
Atrophy, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, I got to a point then where, I mean, it was actually February of last year, where when I got the call that I was on the list to get the house, I got the house. And then I said, right, that's it. I'm going to do something now. I'm going to show everybody, you know? And I tried to get, I sent my CVs to places, you know, and couldn't get work. And then, obviously, then I just thought, out of nowhere, I seen Employability Midlands, you know, in Longford. And look, I just said, okay, I'll just go in.
Right.
And so I went in and I said, you know, I was being myself, you know. Yeah. And she said, you know, I actually have the perfect job for you, and put me forward for Lockree,
right.
Access for All. And I remember then I had an interview. It was with Kieran Mullooly.
Formerly of RTE.
Yeah. With Kieran Mullooly. And
it wasn't an interview for the telly, it was an interview for a job, because he's the boss man down there now.
Well, he's one of the directors. Yes, you know. Yeah. Liam Grimes is my boss man.
Right.
So I went for the interview, and I was myself, you know, because I'd like to get a job where I don't have to be someone else, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
And anyway, look, we went out, and one thing I'll always remember is when Kieran said, I says, how did I get on when we went out? And Kieran says, look, put it this way, you have one foot in the door. And I was like, don't you mean me two front wheels? You know, so yeah, I remember that. But that, yeah, and yeah, I mean, things just was up from there. Up from there.
You have two daughters.
I do, yeah.
What ages are they?
Esme is 9 and Jasmine's 14.
Right.
Yeah.
It must have been difficult for them over the years.
Esme, it was different. For Esme, she was 1. So right. She wouldn't have remembered me, you know. So she obviously grew up, me being in the wheelchair, you know.
So that's the normal for her. Yeah.
So, I mean, daddy's knee was always where to go to get a spin, you know. But poor Jasmine, she remembers. You know, she remembers everything and going to the hospital and hearing about it. And, you know, I would feel more for Jasmine, you know. Mm. But, I mean, I'm so proud of them. I really am. You know, I'm so proud of my girls.
Well, they must be proud of you, because, like, this is, you know, I was going to say you got up off your bum.
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah. Metaphorically speaking.
Metaphorically, yeah. Yeah. Got up off my ears.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm tuned into you now.
Yeah.
So this is the first accessibility centre for water sports on the island of Ireland.
Yes.
And the big thing is the boat. Tell us about the boat.
Right. Well, the boat, right, wheelchair users can go onto this boat, and the bow comes down. Right?
Oh, we see, yes.
You know what I mean? The bow comes down.
So it's like a miniature version of a car ferry.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's even got heating, you know, it's covered well. Do you know what I mean? So nobody has an excuse. They can come on Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful experience. It really is, you know. And I mean,
before that,
yeah,
how would you have gone out in a boat?
Oh, well, when I was at the National Rehabilitation Hospital, we went for a boat cruise. I don't know, at the pier or something.
Dunleary, but I was hoisted in. Oh, you were hoisted in, right.
And I am telling you something, I felt so, I was like, oh my God, I hope no one's looking. And lo and behold, there was a group of girls over there, and I just felt absolutely, I was like, oh my God.
Because you mentioned earlier on your dignity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dignity goes out the window. But when I got part of this project with Lockree Access for All, I mean, I went on the boat myself, you know, before I started there, and it was just amazing. Yeah. And out in that water, my spasms were gone. It was like I was so comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
I actually brought my daughter Esme out. But all Esme wanted was, are we nearly back, Daddy? I want McDonald's. I said, don't worry, we'll get you McDonald's.
How do you explain the fact that the spasms go when you're out on the water?
I can't explain it. It's just, I mean, it must be, I honestly can't
the
explain
it. The motion, it could be the motion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't explain it, but it's just, it's amazing. It really is. You know.
And your job there is?
I'm a marketing receptionist. Right. You know, and also, well, my favourite part of the job is I get to greet everyone. Do you know? I love making people smile and laugh, you know? And, you know.
You're yourself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why, you know, it's actually deadly to work at a job and actually be yourself and, you know, be happy.
Yeah,
and, do you know what I mean? It's great. I love it. You know?
And the other thing, I suppose, which is an extra bonus, is that where you work is doing such a brilliant thing for people in similar situations to yourself.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I mean, I urge anyone that's listening and to come and visit Lockery Access for All, because it's just amazing. You know, it really is.
And I heard, I was listening to your show on Ross FM.
Oh, you were listening? Were you?
Yeah, I've listened to a number of them. And
really?
Kieran Mullooly was saying that they're getting a second boat.
Oh, yes, yes.
Which he
dropped that bombshell.
Fitted already. Out for angling. So people who are wheelchair users and like a bit of fishing, they'll be able to go out.
Yeah.
So you have a show specifically aimed at the disability community.
And, yeah.
Well, it's not, I suppose, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's on Ross FM.
Yeah, yeah.
But the interviews you do are around disability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, people that have a disability, you know, people that are involved with different, you know, ventures to help people with disability.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what I want to highlight on the show, you know.
Right.
And I think I'm doing a pretty good job behind I'm just afraid I'm going to run out of interviews with people that are disabled, so I might start coming up here and interview. I might give you an interview or something.
Look, I'll, if you're up for it. Yeah, I'll do it. I don't know what I can say, but yeah, I'll definitely do it for you.
Yeah, I was saying, I actually met Joe Duffy there.
Yeah, and did he promise?
I was asking him to come down, so we'll give him half price, you know.
On the boat. All right.
We'll give you half price as well.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Our 10-year-old Caleb enjoyed his first day out with the whole family on the Lockery boat. It was an amazing, inclusive experience for us all. Caleb had major limb surgery, which left him wheelchair dependent for 3 months post-surgery. Continued success to all involved. That's Claire, Caleb's mum. So there, you're doing good work.
Yeah.
Listen, lovely to meet you, Mark.
Lovely to meet you too, Ray.
Yeah, yeah. And continued, it's Ross FM if people are looking out. When it's there on the website, yeah, that's right.
It's every Monday from 12 to 1.
Right.
After the news.
You know. I'm sure we'll talk again.
Yeah, of course. Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Thanks, Mark.
No problem.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
LockeryBoatTrips.ie if you want to find out more information about where Mark works. .com. LockeryBoatTrips.com. Now, back to weddings. My sister-in-law got the paper and made the wedding invites for my wedding present. She picked them out and rang me to have a look at them. I said, crack on, you decide. She does have good taste, though. So there. You have to be careful about asking friends and family to do things, because if they're not charging you, you can't have an opinion on it. That's, you know, not just in weddings, but in everything in life. The more guests giving cash gifts means the wedding pays for itself. It's economics. Higher overhead spread over a small crowd is a more costly wedding. Have been through it. David McWilliams. Sorry, not David McWilliams. And got married 36 years ago, 2 weeks' notice, and a registry office wedding, Sambo's later. Great day. Yes, there you go. Elope. That was the first advice we got on that. Anish Toshi now in the Preeskelton in Oak to Marion Nihulawan. Gurma, good Marion. Thank you very much. 51551ray@rt.ie. Anne in Kinsealy has been on. Good afternoon, Anne. We were talking about the 30-year anniversary of the Cranberries' first album. She says, on the 1st of March 1973, which is 50 years ago, Pink Floyd released Dark Side of the Moon. That's 50 years ago, Ray. Oh my God, I feel old now. I can't talk today. I remember first listening to it and how fantastic it was. Still great after all those years. 65 years old me is wondering, how did 50 years go by so quickly? Those clocks on the song Time have been striking a long time now, says Anna Kinsealy. 50, that's going to make people feel old. 50 years old. I was always wondering how I missed Pink Floyd. Now it makes sense, because I was only 9. Like, you wouldn't be listening to that sort of stuff, Dark Side of the Moon, when you were 9. So 8 or 9. So I sort of missed out on Pink Floyd. Maybe I'll revisit them. Now, the Who Done It quiz. Press the button. Here we go. Yep. 2 quizzes are standing by and a prize. And it's 2 nights stay for 2 people in one of the I Knew It Collection 4-star hotels. Breakfast each morning and a course dinner on one of the evenings. And they're all over the country. The Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny, Tullamore Court Hotel, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. INUA.ie. INUA.ie. Hello, Ger.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. You're in Kimmage.
Well, I'm from Kimmage, but I'm actually looking out at the Atlantic now. We're on the way to the Father Ted Festival on the Aran Islands. So,
wow, have you been before?
I've never been before. No, this is the first.
Okay.
To the Aran Islands, this is the first. Yeah.
Yeah, and it starts when?
It starts tonight. We get the ferry at 6, so there's a bit of music and that on tonight, and then a few loads of different events on over the whole weekend. So, you know. Lovely girl competition, all of that.
Right.
Kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, who are you going with?
going with Adrian, my wife, just, and we're meeting another couple there, Tony and Brenda, who are driving down. You know, they're probably listening to us as well.
Yeah, so you're obviously big fans of Father Ted.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was actually, we were living in Australia in the 90s when it came out, so we didn't see it for a couple of years after everybody else, so, and we saw it on VHS, so it was, might have even been a part of it, but we won't talk about that anyway.
Right, so I see there's going to be priests versus nuns five-a-side football.
Yeah.
Right.
Talent competitions. There's even a competition where they're having people impersonate British TV hosts. Because the British are always trying to claim the Irish. So.
Oh right, that's sort of yeah. And what's the connection to Father Ted?
There's a bit of a David Bellamy look.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a bit of a David Bellamy look, so we'll.
You're going to do David Bellamy, right? Okay, right.
Maybe. Don't ask me to do it now.
No, I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. I won't. So there'll be disco, and they'll be playing Ghost Town by the Specials, I suppose.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. Yeah, a bit of Divine Comedy.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be My Lovely Horse.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of that as well. Yeah. And have you spoken to somebody who's been at it before?
No, we haven't. No, we just thought it was on, and this is the first one post pandemic, obviously. So. We just fancy the weekend away. I'm on leave from work, so
great. What's work?
Yeah. Work is in Our Lady's CHI Crumlin. I'm a nurse in the intensive care there.
Oh, right. Yeah, so that's a stressful enough job, I would imagine.
Yeah. But it's great crack. You know, it's very rewarding.
Yes,
you know, it is.
Yeah.
It is stressful, but it's rewarding in equal measure.
Yeah.
You know? Very good.
So you're waiting for the ferry?
Yeah, well, we're not actually at the ferry port yet. We just pulled in to make the call. So.
Okay, right. Okay. You're up against Paul Murphy. How are you doing, Paul?
How you doing, Ray?
Ballymore Eustace, County Kildare.
That's right, yeah.
Right. What are you up to today?
Oh, I drive for a living. I drive a truck for a living.
Right, and you've done your driving for today?
Well, I nearly finished, but I just stopped to do this.
Okay. Where have you been today now?
Oh, I've just up and down to Dublin all day from Wick to times a day.
You're breaking up there. You're breaking up. Let's see if we have you back.
Can you hear me, Ray?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're coming in loud and clearly now. So it's up and down to Dublin all day?
Yeah, up and down to Dublin all day.
Right. What's the plan for the evening?
Oh, I have to go do a bit of painting this evening.
Where?
Oh, in Naas.
Right, and is it...
My son got me roped into a little job there. He asked me how to do a bit of painting for his boss, so I'm doing it for him.
Okay, and is he helping you, or are you doing it instead of him?
Not at all. Well, he does, but...
but he's got off, skiving off, and you're doing the painting?
Yeah, that's it, it.
That's love. He owes you now, Paul.
Oh, he owes me big.
Yeah, are you a fan of Father Ted?
I am, yes.
Yeah, you've never been to the festival, have you?
No, I have not. No. I met you years ago when you used to be on the pew on the Curra there when you're doing your DJs.
Oh yeah, and Nijinsky's, was it?
Nijinsky's and all them places.
Yeah. Well, there was a list of them. Lumville House,
Garvin, and the Curra,
yeah,
and
Nijinsky's, KD, and the Rising Sun, Those were the days. Okay.
Those were the days, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So it's three questions each for Ger and Paul. I'll give you the category, and then I'll say to you, do you want a clue or not? If you go for a clue, you get a point, and if you decide not to go for a clue and you get it right, you get 2 points, and whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if the draw, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Thanks.
Right, Ger. It's music first.
Okay.
Do you want a clue or not?
No clue, thanks, Ray.
No clue. Okay. Who is this for 2 points? It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a feeling Who is it?
Alanis Morissette.
It is Alanis Morissette. Yes. Ironic. But she seemingly got the meaning of the word ironic wrong. But there you go. It was a big hit. And you get 2 points. 2 points for that. Okay, Paul.
So yeah, no clue, Ray.
No clue. Okay.
Okay.
Right, who is this for 2 points?
Lennox.
It is Annie Lennox, yes. Whoa. They're on fire today.
front woman with the Eurythmics, and then she had her own solo career as well, away from Dave Stewart. You get 2 points. Right, category number two, Ger. Comedians.
No clue.
No clue, all right. So for two, who is this?
You know that song, We Are Family? For years I thought they were singing, Just Let Me Staple the Vicar. Right? Who's right and who's wrong here? Listen.
Can they be that close? Just let me staple the vicar.
Just let me staple
the vicar.
The vicar. Yep. So what about?
Who's that?
It's Peter Kay.
It is Peter Kay. Very funny. 2 points to you. Well done. Paul, comedians.
Oh, no clue, Ray.
No clue. Oh, they're flying at it today. Okay, for two, who is this?
It's the bizarrest piece of trivia I've ever picked up about Ireland. We're appalling at scuba diving, right? There are landlocked African nations who are better in the water than we are. And you'd think, well, you know, it's an island nation, but we were never really one to use the waters around us. In Ireland, we viewed the oceans and seas with a relative amount of suspicion because they were cold, and that's where the English came from.
Frankly, Darryl Breen. To brick
up it is Darryl Breen. Yes, Darryl Breen. Well done. Oh, look at this. Right, so it's 4-4 after 2 questions each. We're down to the wire, lads, Ger and Paul. And the final category, TV characters. So it's the character's name I'm looking for, not the actor's name. How do you think you'll do on this one, Ger?
Shall we go for no clue, right?
No clue, okay.
Yeah.
So for two, good luck with this. Final question. Which TV character is this?
It's my bank. There's $500 extra dollars in my account. It's not mine. I didn't earn it. If I kept it, it would be like stealing. Let's say I bought a really great pair of shoes. Do you know what I hear with every step I took? Not mine, not mine, not mine. And even if I was happy, okay, and skipping, I'd hear, not mine, not mine.
TV character?
It's Phoebe.
It is Phoebe.
Friends.
Well done.
Phoebe Buffay.
Yeah. Played by Lisa Kudrow. 2 points. You can't do any more. You're on 6.
No.
Yeah, right. Paul, under pressure. Din, 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 din.
Yeah.
Din, 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 din.
No clue. Go again. Go ahead.
No, okay, TV characters. And again, just to remind you, we're looking for the character's name as opposed to the actor's name. So which TV character is this? For 2 points to bring us to a tie-break situation.
Well, may I ask what you were expecting to see out of a Torquay hotel bedroom window? Sydney Opera House, perhaps? The hanging gardens of Babylon? Herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically?
I expect to be able to see the sea.
No, you can see the sea. It's over there between the land and the sky.
I need a telescope.
I think you want an answer there, Paul, do you?
Basil Fawlty.
It is Basil Fawlty, yes. One of my favourite scenes there. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And there's talk about bringing it back as well. Himself and his daughter are writing it. You get 2 points, which means it's a draw, Ger and Paul. Two great performances there. Well done to you both. But it means we're onto a tiebreak question. We asked you this question before we went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners. Whoever gets closest to the correct answer is today's winner. Good luck to you both. According to Google Maps, how long would it take you to walk from Mitchelstown Caves in County Tipperary to Alwi Caves in County Clare? So from Mitchelstown Caves to Alwi Caves, walking. Your guess, Ger?
Yeah. I'm a slow walker in my defence right now. So.
Right. What did you say?
I said 48 hours and 26 minutes, I think.
Right, 48 hours and 26 minutes. It's 135 kilometres. You said, Paul?
I said 9 hours and 25 minutes.
9 hours and 25 minutes. Okay. This is a close call. Both of you are way off the mark. But you're sort of... Anyway, it's the correct answer is 28 hours.
Yeah.
Right. So, Ger, you are 20 hours and 26 minutes out.
Yeah.
And Paul, you are 18 hours and 35 minutes out. So, Paul is today's winner.
Fair play. Congratulations, Paul.
So, thanks very much.
Yeah, sorry about that, Ger. Sorry about that. Listen, enjoy the TED Fest, and we're going to send you out 2 Ray Darcy Show Keep Cups, one for you and one for Adrian.
Very good. Yeah, thanks a million, Ray.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend.
Thanks a lot. All the best now.
Okay, see you. Good luck. Bye. 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 Paul, congratulations.
Thanks very much, Ray.
You are off to an I knew a hotel of your choice. They're all 4 stars and they're all over the country.
Oh, that's great, Ray.
Right,
that's
well
great.
Done.
Thank
well
you very
done.
Much.
Great talking to you. See you, Paul. Bye now.
Thank
bye.
You very much, Ray. All the best. Bye-bye now.
Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And we'll be celebrating World Book Day with first-time author Leona Ford in a couple of minutes. But first a bit of this, Lick the Tins and their version of Can't Help Falling in Love. Whew! Lick the Tins, which was featured on The Snapper. Great song in their version of Can't Help Falling in Love. Today is World Book Day and we're celebrating it. And it's great, actually, that we're celebrating it with you, Leona Ford, because you're a first-time author.
I am. Thanks.
So today, and was it always going to be World Book Day that it was launched? Or
no, I think that was a decision made by Gill themselves.
Right.
But I'm absolutely delighted because, as well as an author, I'm an English teacher. So I've celebrated World Book Day for every single day for the last 20 years,
aha,
I think.
And now your pupils can read your book.
They can, yeah.
Yeah. So Millie McCarthy is a complete catastrophe. Millie, who's the protagonist, obviously she's 10 and...
A half. Very important.
She's from Cork.
She is, of course, so she's rebel blood.
Yes, and she inspired, I suppose...
A little bit by my own children.
Yes.
And, you know, the hijinks that they kind of get up to and those little stories that they bring home and what they're going through in school and stuff like that.
And, I suppose, the dearth of people in books that they could identify with.
Completely. So I have a 12-year-old called Asha. And she's an avid reader and she was going through The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Then she went through Tom Gates. Then she went through Big Nate.
Yeah.
And the same thing she said, Mom, she's a little feminist. She says, Mom, how come it's always boys? And how come they're always American? How come there's no like girls and it's not a Gael school like I go to? And it's not, you know, the way we have Kayleys in the Holla and we go on school tours and we do Christmas concerts and stuff like that. And we get the Shimsa annuals at Christmas. It's never anything that I recognise. And I thought, she's right. There is nothing that has that typical Irish childhood.
Yeah.
Do you know, has the Cúpla Focail Isteach and Leabhar Freisin.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll write it for her. So
there's only a Cúpla Focail in it.
That's
But they are well placed. She reminds me of a sort of a more capable Mr. Bean.
That's a really good description.
Yeah, because she does land herself in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, she's one of these kids that has a heart of gold. And
yes.
She has these fantastic ideas, but absolutely never thinks them true.
Yeah.
And ends up in lots of calamity and chaos. But everyone knows, like, that's just Millie.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of eye roll.
Some great lines in it, you know. Her teacher is, what's her name?
Emer.
Yeah, Moontour Emer. And we've all been there. Anyway, Millie is not paying attention and maybe whispering something to her friend in class, mm-hmm. which she shouldn't do, of course. And Moontour Emer says, Millie McCarthy, is there something you would like to share with the rest of the class? And which is actually a silly thing to be asking, says Millie to herself, because if I'm whispering something to Laura, who is my BFF, best friend forever, then it's kind of obvious that it's a secret and something I wouldn't want to share with the rest of the class. Duh. That's great stuff. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
Did you have fun writing it?
I did. What I really enjoyed as well is, as a parent, I love reading to my kids and I tend to read more when I'm enjoying the book. So I wanted the book as well to be for kids, to be for our parents. There's like little bits of veiled sarcasm.
Yes, yes.
So the teacher rolling her eyes.
Yeah.
A kid mightn't get that, but the parent straight away understands why the teacher's rolling her eyes. I've really lots of fun with that part of it.
And the other thing, as a parent reading to your children, you want to be able to read it out loud and have fun with it.
Yeah. So, of course, there's lots of butt jokes and there's booger jokes and anything with a bit of divilment that children love, which gets them reading and interested.
Yeah. And then Millie's dad is called.
Oh, my God.
What is his name?
My head.
Is it Ryan? No.
No. Oh, God. I got killed over this. Cannot remember what Millie's dad, what I named
That's
him.
Nerves. That's nerves
it is,
for you.
Yeah,
that's
completely.
Nerves for you. But so he has the dad jokes.
He does.
He
loves
the dad
the jokes. Dad jokes.
Yes,
yeah, and
yes.
He loves two things. Reading the newspaper on the toilet and cleaning out the shed, but then giving out that he has to put everything back in the shed again.
Yes. Yeah. And he, you know, he loves an opportunity to tell Millie, you know, the various types of tools that should be used in various gardening jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So to see it now, Leona, your first book.
Yeah, it feels completely unreal. I was in Dublin today in a couple of bookshops and I was looking at them on the shelves going, that's mad. that's just absolutely mad. And signing some books and being called an author, it's all very surreal to me, but absolutely brilliant.
Did you bring the family up today?
I did. They went to Dublin Zoo today. So we actually have membership of FOTA. So they went to Dublin Zoo.
Well, that's featured in the book. So they should be giving you more than just membership.
And then yesterday we took them. Do you call it the Dead Zoo?
Yes.
They absolutely.
The Natural History Museum.
They loved it.
Do we call it, as if we're from a different country? You're only from Cork.
I know, but I was like, I know it has a proper name, but I know the Dubs have a nickname for it as well. Yeah.
I'm from Kildare, I'm not a Dub, but the Dead Zoo. So they love that as well.
Oh, they had a fantastic time there.
So what ages are they?
So India's 3, Isaac is 7, Rian is 10 and Asha is 12.
Right. Yeah. So you've a 3 book deal.
I do.
Wow, that's exciting, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's very cool because I submitted it to what they call the slush pile. I didn't have an agent or anything.
What's the slush pile now? Explain that to me.
So it's when you submit to a publisher and it kind of goes into these people who are unknown, who've never had any work published before, and it gets read. And when it was read, it wasn't actually this book that I submitted. I submitted a picture book that I had written with the author, Patricia Ford. I had done some CPD with her.
What's CPD?
It's continual professional development for teachers.
Okay, right.
So as an English teacher, you got paired with an actual author, which was amazing. It did these online workshops on Zoom. And I had written this kiddies book for young toddlers. And she said, there's something in that, you should definitely submit it. And I wasn't going to, because I thought, no, I'm just writing for me and my kids. And then that was in February 2022. And then Gil emailed me back in March to say they liked the book and could we talk? And in that interview, they said, are you writing anything else? And I said, well, actually, yeah, I'm writing a little series for my daughter. It's called Millie McCarthy. Explained what it was about. And they said, send us in a couple of chapters. And I did. And from that, I got a 3 book deal, which was crazy.
Is that actually the way it happened?
Yes.
Because you're going to annoy people with that in a nice sort of way.
It was completely,
You sort of stumbled into it.
Yeah, completely fluky, like really,
really. Well, not fluky, because it's there, you know. Yeah. It's there. And we got a sampler in, and we get loads of samplers in, obviously. And I read it and I said, definitely there's something there.
Thank you.
Yeah. What is it? Is it that you're childish or what?
Yes.
Yes. Is that it?
So in conversations with my kids, they're like, Mom, your brain works like a kid's brain.
There you go.
And I'd be like, yeah, but like, what would it be like if this happened? You know, can you imagine that? You know, and questions that the kids ask all the time would be questions that I'd be genuinely thinking about. Like,
So Millie gets involved. They go to on a school trip to FOTA Wildlife Park, and she ends up giving a young giraffe indigestion.
Yes.
She inadvertently steals a stick insect out of the insect house, and all sorts of things go on.
Angers some monkeys
because somebody eats their banana or something like that. So it's great entertainment and really, really fun. So has this made you look at your career as a mentor differently, or?
No, because as I teach English, although it's funny, when I told a couple of my students that I had written a book and it was being published, they were like, oh, wow, miss, we did not know you wrote. And I was like, I teach you English every single day.
Yeah, but it doesn't follow that you're going to write.
I suppose not. But no, I love teaching. You get such inspiration from the kids and every day is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can see Millie on the screen.
Really?
Has it been optioned?
No.
Well, that's only a matter of time.
Thank you.
Leona's book is incredible, and we are so proud of Karen Hart, the illustrator. Should have mentioned her. Sorry about that. And her amazing illustrations that really bring Millie to life from all the hearts, her family and friends. And that's what she read, Book Club Gang. So that's her side of the family, if you like. And that's something else. So Millie McCarthy is a Complete Catastrophe is in bookshops now. Highly recommended from here. And it's that audience between what?
7 to 12, they
7
say,
to 12, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the boys and the girls will love it.
Definitely, yeah. There's a couple of boy characters that are as cheeky as Millie. There's Ronan and Aidan, so it'll definitely appeal to boys as well.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And happy World Book Day.
Happy World Book Day.
It's a World Book Day you'll never forget.
Yeah, and to all the readers and mentors and authors out there.
Yeah, that's Leona Ford there. And just before we go, Can't Help Falling in Love by Lick the Tins, blaring as myself and herself walk down the aisle at our wedding. So that wraps the show up nicely. All the crowd were dancing. Complete mayhem. Best tune ever, says Graham in Fermoy. That's it from us. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Cormac and Sarah on the way. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.